Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guests who are with me this morning. Again, as I mentioned, from the Life Care Center here in Farmington. Joining me, the new executive director of Life Care Center in Farmington, Josh Martin, is here in our studio. Good morning. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Good to have you here. And also, Juliana Martinez is here too, the marketing director at the Life Care Center. And good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Good to have both of you with us this morning. And thank you both for coming in to talk a little bit about the Life Care Center. And Josh Martin, let me speak with you first, because you're relatively new to the job and to the community, right?
That's correct. I got here late September.
Okay.
So,
very good. And so, welcome. And so, Life Care Center, when folks hear about it, we should talk about this, because it was very early on during this COVID-19 pandemic that you saw your first cases at the Life Care Center. I think it was April 1st, and we were talking kind of before we came on the air this morning of just how soon that was. And again, as we remember back to that time, we didn't know a lot about COVID-19, and there were new recommendations coming out from the CDC and public health officials and things along that line. And unfortunately, Life Care had a lot of the earliest cases here in the community, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
We were hit first. April 1st was our first case.
Right. And so with that, I mean, again, we didn't know a lot about it, and we soon realized just how quickly this could spread, right? How infectious this virus was.
It was very infectious. In fact, the epidemiologist did state that we had one of the deadliest strands in San Juan County, and it hit us pretty hard.
Right. So let's talk about that just a little bit, because I also want to talk about what you and your staff did with that and what happened. But very soon, you had about, let me see my notes here, 87 cases between April and July.
Right.
And about 40 of those were residents, and 40 of those, or I'm sorry, no, bigger than that, right?
We had 44 deaths, 40 recoveries, and three discharges only.
Got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay. And so that was a lot. And so how did that impact your staff?
Well, there was actually, and I apologize, I don't have the number here in front of me, we had quite a bit of our staff get sick as well.
We had 53 of our associates.
Okay.
And all 53 have recovered.
Great to hear that. That's wonderful. But that was in a very short amount of time too, correct, as it spread and as we learned more about what this is and what it does, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and in my experiences, so I was actually in a with a Life Care facility in Arizona, and our experience was different. We saw the virus come in and we saw the virus spread, but we didn't see anywhere near the fatality rate that they experienced here in Life Care. And I think that just goes to some of the different strands that were out there. And like they said, is just the one that our building got early on was unfortunately pretty rough.
Right. Exactly. And of course, you're not alone. This was happening in nursing homes and centers all across the country, all across the world, right, with this disease, with this virus.
Absolutely.
Yes. The wave of negative publicity in skilled nursing homes and the whole industry that we all endured caused people to have many concerns for safety, but this is not the case over at Life Care. In many ways, the experience with the virus has made our facility even safer.
And that's something that I want to ask you about too, because with this experience, as you mentioned, you've gotten some things in place. You've always had measures in place from the very beginning, but as things have evolved and we learn more about COVID and how just infectious this is, your standards have changed and evolved like everything else. And so so today things are much different than they were probably back in April.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we focused on. And one of the things that Life Cares as a company has been good about is they've always wanted to put residents and staff first. And so we've made a massive effort company wide, and here in Farmington, I was actually in the division here, and so I got the weekly updates as we talked about everything that had happened in Farmington. But we've stayed ahead of the curve. As a matter of fact, during the outbreak and everything, we had state surveyors constantly in our building looking at our infection control policies according to what the knowledge was at the time. And we didn't have a single sighting. The federal government even came in and did a federal infection control survey, and they didn't find a single thing. And so that's really been one of the keys that we've had, is as everybody learns more about this virus, we are making the adjustments. Lockdown units, we have the COVID unit that's completely separate and locked and isolated away. We have a quarantine unit, which of course, this is all guidance from the CDC guidelines. A quarantine unit where people stay 14 days so that we can watch for any signs or symptoms. And that's all locked off from the rest of the building as well.
Got it. And that's interesting to point out, I think, too, in that during all this time when you were having positive cases in both residents and employees, you were being inspected and the inspectors were saying, well, you're doing everything right. It's just, this is just infectious and this is what it is. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it was. It was just an absolute tragedy.
Right.
And so we've stayed on top of everything that they've guidance and the things that they've asked us to do. And so it is, and they are constantly changing, and we are constantly watching the CDC as well as working with the state of New Mexico on their guidance and different things. And one of the things that in my experience so far has been important is the testing side. And so we're following with the community spread right now at, I think 9% was what I got this last week. The state guidance is to be testing all of our staff weekly. And if anybody tests positive, then we test all staff and residents weekly as well. Just keeping an eye on it so that if it pops up in the building, we have a way to isolate immediately and treat to that.
Right. And that is something you couldn't have done in April. There was no testing. I mean, there was very limited testing. But I don't think, you know, we have it out in the parking lot this morning right here at San Juan College that people are lined up to get tests. But that was not in place in April.
No. And there was also a massive shortage of PPE, face
personal
masks.
Protective equipment.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, no, my mistake there.
I think we're all used to hearing that acronym now, so yes. I probably don't need to define it anymore, but go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, so there was, this was a worldwide pandemic, and so it wasn't just Life Care Centers of Farmington, it wasn't just Farmington, it wasn't, you know, it was everywhere across the world, and everybody was trying to do the same things to protect themselves as well as their loved ones, and that's, you know, one of the things that we're trusted to do is protect people's loved ones, and that's, we've done our very best in staying up with all of the guidelines. And like I said, it was an absolute tragedy, and it's heartbreaking. One of the things that I've seen that has amazed me is the impact that it had on my staff. And I'm not talking about the virus itself. I'm talking about the emotional toll. And there's something that comes along with serving people every day, the way that my staff does, their residents, that they develop a love. And I absolutely love it. There's a lot of my staff that calls our grandmas and their grandma. And there's a lot of the grandmas in there that believe that they are their grandchildren and treat them that way. And there is a tremendous amount of love and passion that goes when you serve people for what you do. And to watch and to have loss was hard. It was hard emotionally. It was hard physically. And so there has been a lot of that. And it's been a massive toll all the way around.
Right. Well, they did definitely make a connection. I know my mother was in an assisted living facility, and she got very close, and the employees got very close with her. It was a, you know, daily relationship that they would look forward to seeing each other every day. And so I know it meant a lot to her when they would come in to care for her. So I can see that. And the loss that you mentioned was so much loss early on. I mean, that had to be very difficult for your staff, just almost one after another.
It was one of the first things I really got a chance to do was come in and talk to staff when I first got there. And it's one of the things that attracted me to this industry was the opportunity to love and to care and to have that as what you do all day. And to see the people that have been doing it day in, day out, some of them 19, 18 years in the same facility, to watch them, the way the emotion is, it was tremendous. It was tremendous to see the heartbreak. It was hard to even be a part of it and watch as they would tear up talking about people they loved and holding their hands as they passed and how hard it was on them, and so we're, you know, our heart breaks for everybody that was involved in it.
Sure.
Worldwide. I mean, right. This has been a difficult thing.
Well, and it's still happening. It's not happening in your facility, but it's still happening across the world, which is just tragic. Tragic. And I think, too, again, your staff and many times had to fill in for family because we couldn't have visitors, and we probably still can't have visitors, right? I mean, you can't do that safely.
Yes, and that's kind of
unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's the state guidance right now, and that is where everything is new. And so right now the new is how do we celebrate Thanksgiving? How do we celebrate Christmas with grandma or grandpa, with mom or dad? And it is difficult, and there's nothing more that we'd like to do than open up and say, everybody come in, because it is. It's a lot of fun when family and everybody's there, but unfortunately for the safety and for the guidance, it's just not safe for everybody.
Right. And so what are you able to do, Juliana? Are you doing a lot of FaceTiming and visiting and things like that?
Yes, we have a lot of through the window visits. You have to call and schedule. Our schedule is always booked, so we, you know, require 24 hours just to make sure you get a time slot. If you're not able to come to the facility, we have plenty of iPads available to do FaceTime that way as well.
Right, and I imagine it's not ideal, but it's better than not being able to see their loved ones.
Exactly.
and visit with grandma, grandpa, whoever the case may be, and to be able to at least have that connection from time to time.
Yes, we do have that connection. The families do love it. The families support us so much, and we are so appreciative of the families that have been able to, you know, come and do the window visits, and our staff that's facilitating all these window visits. It's been, you know, a real joy to see the family members see their loved ones, even if it is through the glass window.
Right. Very good. We have a question coming in from Facebook this morning that's asking if you are taking new residents at Life Care Center, even during this pandemic. Are you able to do that?
Yes, we are currently open to admissions. We are taking long-term and short-stay rehabilitation. We do require that we do prefer that they have a COVID test 24 hours prior to admission. When they do arrive into our yellow units, we test them again, and then after the 14-day period, they're tested again as well if they're going to stay long-term.
Okay.
So, yes, we are open to admissions.
All right. Good to know. Thank you. Thank you for that question, viewer. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you a bit about this ceremony, very special ceremony that you held. And I'm trying to remember, was it about a month ago or was it in September?
It was September 15th.
Okay. And so whose idea was to have some sort of ceremony to honor those residents who were lost during COVID?
The whole team, the life care team, thought it was a great idea. I thought it was a wonderful idea to have it to honor all of our beloved residents that did lose their battle to COVID. And it was very heartfelt, and unfortunately we were not able to have the community present physically. We did send out invites for the entire community to join us virtually. We did live stream it.
Showing some pictures now for our viewers who are watching. Josh,
yes.
There you are, making some remarks at this ceremony outside, right?
We had a beautiful plaque made in honor of all that had lost their battle to COVID.
And again, this was kind of as you mentioned, a private ceremony because you didn't necessarily want the press there and the public. And of course, we can't have large gatherings,
right?
It
wasn't that we wanted it private. It's that we had to follow the state guidelines,
right.
And we
right.
could not have a group larger than 10 to be present. So the only way we could think of was to do it virtually and invite everybody to join us virtually and in spirit.
Right. And so this was held again earlier this year, and again in honor of all those that were lost. And then I think you did something very special in that you also sent plaques, I believe, right, to the families? Or tell me what
we had specially made wind chimes.
That's right.
And I did personally address every single one of the wind chimes, and we sent them out to all of the families just as a symbolic way to show our love for those who had lost.
Right.
So, yeah. We did a balloon release as well. We had a medicine man bless a tree. We planted a healing tree, a white snow dogwood in honor of healing and growth. for our beloved residents that we lost.
Very nice. And Josh Martin, again, from your standpoint, I mean, coming in as the new executive director, is this kind of an important healing process to go through to honor these residents who were lost, and to maybe give your staff some closure and a standing memorial there on the grounds to remember these folks?
Yeah, and I don't think it was just necessarily for those folks. It was, hopefully that was something that reached out to not only the folks that we lost, to the folks that were my staff that fought it, but the community as well that was so supportive in everything that we've done, and the people that have involved, and the people that continue to trust us as we move forward, following and protecting and doing everything we can. It really is just a healing and an opportunity to, like I said, continue to move forward in what we do, but not forget what the battle that was fought, which was important for us, because we, like we talked about earlier, there was a genuine love for every one of those people, and it was hard. So
right, and even now, as we're seeing an increase in our community, your procedures are holding, and you're able to then, you know, point to those things as keeping your residents safe, and even if you have a positive case, those are quickly dealt with, and you've got policies in place to deal with those situations.
Yeah, and so one of the great things that's come out is we have what they call the point of care testing machine that we use hand in hand with the state guidance. As anybody that shows any signs or symptoms, we have the ability to test them and find out within 15 minutes.
Resident or employee.
Resident or employee. And so we're able to kind of find that right away, as well as quarantine and watch, because one of the big things is isolating anybody. So when Juliana talks about our yellow unit, that's actually our quarantine unit, where any resident that is out in the community needs to spend 14 days in there, where everybody that's in there wears N95 masks, and they wear face shields, which is actually new guidance.
Right.
They allowed goggles in the past, but now they're wanting everybody wear their face shields whenever there's interaction with residents and staff. And so they are constantly on that. And like I said, not only that, they go in and they're exchanging gowns and any protective equipment that's being used, just being used one time the way that it's supposed to, as we're hoping there's not much of a crisis here with PPE again.
Right.
But
that's something
you
need to
worry
about.
It's breaking out worldwide again. And so we've done what we can to keep and have on supply what we need, which is another thing that had anybody known and anybody had been able to stock up on PPE ahead of time, I'm sure the spread worldwide would have been far less than what it has been. But it's been something that nobody was really aware of, and it is. And so even the second time around, we're doing everything we can, and isolating. We had our procedures are working, and our policies are working, and we have a pretty strict screening tool, and through the CDC guidance right now, is anybody that shows any signs or symptoms, and we actually mark them out. Do you have any coughs, chills, the whole thing?
Sure.
And anybody that answers yes to any of those, we actually quarantine them for 10 days and say, don't come to work. If anybody's had exposure, stay out 14 days. Don't come to work until we know that you're through the rough part of it, so that we can ensure that it's not coming in.
Right. You have to be that strict almost to ensure the safety of everybody.
Absolutely. And it is. And it is. It's slow, and there's a lot of questions involved, and it is. It can be daunting to continually ask those questions, but it is. In the long runs, it is. I don't know how this sounds. It ends up saving lives, which is extremely important to us.
Well, that's what you want.
Right.
That's obviously what everybody wants. So there
Absolutely.
You go. What's the current situation at Life Care? Is everybody good? Do you have a case?
We have one case that is doing well, and she is isolated on the unit. Like I said, we had some negative tests. She came in and was working in the quarantine unit where she was quarantined. And a test a few days later came back positive, so we isolated her. So we actually believe she came into the facility with it, even though she had a negative test, and it's just the way this disease is. But we were able to isolate. We've tested everybody else in the building, and everybody else has come out clean.
Great.
Well, like I said, we also have a couple of staff that have tested positive just due to community spread. But again, because of their honesty, neither one of them were in the building that positive. They were negative and then had either a symptom or a family member or something. And they told us ahead of time.
Right.
And because of their honesty, we were able to keep them out just in case. And we've done it with several people. I would say there's probably 8 or 9 people that we've had out
two of them came back as they ended up being positive. But due to them being honest and the screening tool, they weren't in the building while they were positive. So we were able to keep it out that way.
Very good. And then for an employee to come back to work, do they need obviously a negative test? Do they need two negative tests in a row, or do you have policies about that, as to when they can come back?
So it all depends. It depends. It's an individual case. If somebody tested positive, they've got to be – there's a certain deadline depending on 10, 20 days, depending on how sick they got from COVID, as well as they need to be clear of symptoms for at least 24 hours, kind of have that doctor release. And then it opens up. So it really depends on each situation, where we have our nurses that are evaluating and covering that with them to make sure that they're safe before they come back.
Understood. My guest this morning from Life Care Center of Farmington, Josh Martin is here with me, new executive director. Juliana Martinez is here. She is the director of marketing at the Life Care Center. And Juliana, we have questions coming in from our viewers this morning about a Zoom Thanksgiving. Is that something that could be done with your residents? It's probably difficult because you have so many being able to do that.
Yes, I think that's an absolutely great idea. We're collaborating together as a team with our activities to come up with all ideas to get our residents in touch with their families. We're coming up with some different ideas of maybe a drive-through dessert pickup. A Zoom with all the residents and families would be a great idea. We were provided by the state with several iPads, so that is a good possibility, and that's a great idea that...
Okay.
We'll be looking into.
As we say in the radio business, stay tuned, audience,
yes, stay
and we'll
tuned.
See what you're able to come up with. But I imagine, like everybody, you are getting very very familiar with technology and iPads and FaceTiming and Zoom and all these different things to try to bring your families and residents together during
Absolutely.
This time.
Absolutely. It's become a everyday part of our procedures at work with the activities director. She's doing a fabulous job keeping families in touch with their residents, with their loved ones, and I love the Zoom idea for Thanksgiving.
Very good.
And we'll have to be real careful with that because there's no community dining, so that would be an individual.
I see.
Doing it, so we won't have unfortunately, in the building.
No big table.
No big table.
Right.
No big setup.
Sure. So nobody's doing that. Nobody should be doing that this year, by the way, everyone, right?
Yes. So we are following those same guidelines indoors. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, I talked to a resident the other day and said, hey, get me a favorite piece of pie for your loved one, and we'll get her pie, and she can have pie with you guys, and we'll set up a FaceTime so she can eat pie while you guys have dinner.
Nice. So nice. Well, and that's just the way it has to be this year because that's how things are going. Another question, and we just have a couple minutes remaining this morning, everybody, about some of your employees. And the question is, do employees that work in the same unit, if residents that are in the yellow area work in that area, do you rotate them out, or how does that work to keep them very separate, Juliana?
We have dedicated staff to every single unit. We do not move our staff around. If they're assigned to Unit B, they are solely on Unit B. We do not mix our staff employees at all with the different residents. If you're assigned to the quarantine unit, that's where you stay and work only. You don't go into the other side of the building at all.
Got you. And that is a physically separate area of your building, as you've been mentioning, right?
Yes. Our maintenance director has worked tirelessly to put up walls to keep the building separate.
Got you. And that's by design, obviously, so that's the way it goes. And so moving forward, let me ask both of you kind of where you think things are going. We're getting news about a vaccine, two vaccines, which are very... I think exciting to hear about, and I think a lot of folks are saying that maybe some of the first folks to get a vaccine would be maybe some of our most vulnerable, some of the residents of nursing homes and things like that, maybe our medical professionals and things like that. Are you in contact with some of the state health folks to talk about that distribution of a vaccine in New Mexico?
Yeah, the state's actually great with that. We have a weekly meeting on Mondays, and we talk about everything that's going on in the community and the spread, and the state is keeping a close eye on that, and the federal government, and we are... Fingers crossed, like I said, there's nobody more excited about having this open up than, I guess that's easy to say from my point, but we're excited to have it. We hope to get to a point where we can get it set up, but we are also working on some other things. We have a bipolar ionization for our air conditioning system that we're waiting on the installation of that should help with cleaning the air a little bit and just kind of one of the viewers a little bit more on the questions about worried about the spreading, just to kind of help do anything we can to reduce the spread. So
the HVAC filter, that is some, of one thing, of the things you can do, I guess, right?
Bipolar ionization, yeah, and I'm not completely schooled on it yet because I'm still waiting for our turn, but LifeCare's done real good about getting that put into all the different buildings. And,
gotcha.
And so they've selected their buildings that they feel like are in need of it and kind of trying to get them out as fast as I can. So we're anticipating ours. But
certainly the vaccine,
oh, man, goodness, I mean, gracious. How great would that be to open up again? Like we said, we'd love to have families back in. We can't wait for that to clean up and to be able to have that done safely.
Exactly. And so do you foresee if and when that happens, would you need then a family member to have proof of a vaccination or something before they come in, or is that still to be determined?
I think that's still to be determined. We are hearing anywhere from November to May. I don't know that it's a whole lot different from what anybody else is hearing. So we're getting the same guidance, I guess. We're just fingers crossed and hoping that's coming in, and how that will work exactly or what kind of tests they'll have. As in New Mexico, we were working on a way to have indoor visits until this new spread came out, and they've kind of put a stop to that. And
sure.
It's one of the things I appreciate about the state and all their guidance is they're really trying to be as safe as they can to protect our residents,
right,
and keep them healthy.
Understood. And Juliana Martinez, again, with this work about a possible vaccine and maybe being able to have at least your residents vaccinated, and so there's less of a worry maybe for them. Mm-hmm. What else would that change for you or for others? What do you see coming down the line here?
With the vaccination, I think that would, like Josh had said, open us up to a new normal, to where families can come in and hug their loved ones, and instead of the outside windows, they can come in, they can join and dine and be with their loved ones, and that's what we want for our residents.
Right. Very good. And just one final question from Facebook about this vaccine. Would residents receive the vaccine? Would the families have a say in that vaccine? What would your thoughts be about that?
Yeah, one of the big things in skilled nursing as well as long-term care is really resident rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't force anybody to do anything. And nothing has come out yet, my assumption will be that will be a resident right to choose whether they do or they don't. Much like the flu vaccine that we have, that we give out, that we offer to residents and staff, and
they have the option.
They have the option.
So, or the family, if the resident's not able to make that decision, the family would have the option.
Right, and so I'm going to assume that they'll probably follow the same guidance. But again, at this point, they haven't given that guidance out just yet.
Sure.
So, but my assumption would be falling in line with everything else of resident rights and making sure that we offer that as a option.
Right. Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning. We are out of time. I appreciate it, though, and I think from the comments we've seen on Facebook, a lot of folks appreciate the work that you and your staffs are doing and throughout the nursing home community to keep folks safe. So thank you both very much.
Yes, and we appreciate the support of the community and the support of all the family members that have supported us throughout this whole pandemic, and we just want to say thank you to all of you for your support and love.
Thank you. Very good. Good to have you both here, Juliana Martinez and Josh Martin from the Life Care Center of Farmington. Stay well and stay safe. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
You're welcome. I'll be back with more, everyone, in just a moment on KSJE. The time right now is coming up on 8:42. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.